Welcome. William Evans here, and today we are celebrating and remembering Katrina Blair. Katrina was a messenger, and in early June I received word she had taken her last breath at a family hut in the La Plata Mountains near Durango. Katrina was a beautiful light, and she knew it. One time when we were paddling on a river trip, people began using their river names. And Katrina turned to me and said she saw herself as a spark. Some years ago, I filmed her in the early morning, walking into the Crystal River, singing to the water, then bending down and taking a sip. I was in awe. A few years later, our small local American dipper population of aquatic songbirds was suffering. I brought out the film sequence I had recorded, updated it, and sent Katrina a copy asking for her comments. Educated as a physician, I was concerned about naive people watching the film and drinking from our local river. Katrina acknowledged my perspective and did not for a moment allow my viewpoint to dim the beauty of her relationship with water. Her message illuminated the river in a graceful flow of words. She acknowledged my concern and reminded me, I am alive in the bigger picture of being source water. Christian Kruger from Paonia has joined us to help us remember Katrina. How long did you know Katrina?
I knew Katrina or have known her for over 30 years.
Wow.
And, yeah.
And say a little bit about your relationship with water in relation to Katrina.
I think both of us being lovers of nature and the elements, we share our love for water. And we had many special moments, which included water, might be before she got married the first time. We all hiked up with a group of women to Potato Lake outside Durango early morning and swam and blessed ourselves in the cold mountain water.
All right.
And yeah. And on several occasions, you know, we spent time at the river singing to the water or giving thanks to the water, being grateful for the water, maybe blessing ourselves with the water in that way.
Right. So would you be so kind as to read that piece she sent me with some suggestions for the editing I'd done on a film?
Absolutely, yeah. I'd be honored to read this on her behalf. Hi, Will. I watched the edited video. I appreciate your words and the addition of other scenes. Beautiful images. I find myself wanting to explore the comment that the water is not safe to drink. I want to encourage cultivating a feeling of being safe and connected with the natural elements as the primary way we relate to our environment, while at the same time still being aware the present situation of your specific river is due to unsafe practices. I think it is wise to clarify that it is not the river and the water that is unsafe, but human practices create the problem. I feel it is important to do everything we can to build a relationship of integrity with the water in how we communicate details. In the flyer, it is written, "Do not drink the water." Could it say something like, "Let's join together in being allies to clean, healthy water," or encourage actions for positive change? Noting the present situation of caution, but still honoring the basic goodness of water in its essence. Just some thoughts. Thanks for listening. Love, Katrina.
Yeah. What really, really caught me was her statement that she wanted to explore that comment about the water wasn't safe to drink.
Yeah. Yeah, because essentially it is safe to drink until it's not.
Right, until we get confused and don't treat it with respect.
Right.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, Will.
Now we're going to listen to an archive conversation with Katrina from May of 2021.
Look into the eyes of the fire. She's dancing before you in flaming desire. Who are you? What do you love? Will you be true to your nature? Look into the eyes of the fire. She's dancing.
Welcome. This is William Evans, and you are listening to Shifting Gears. Our guest today is Katrina Blair from Durango, Colorado. Katrina is the founder of the Turtle Lake Refuge, an organic land stewardship community with the mission of celebrating the connection between personal health and wildlands. Welcome, Katrina.
Thank you so much. It's an honor to be on the show with you.
Oh, it's good to have you back again. Kindly tell us about how you celebrate and keep alive the connection between personal health and wildlands.
Yeah, that's our mission at Turtle Lake Refuge. And it feels such a powerful, simple but powerful message, because the more we take care of our own bodies, this little piece of earth that we get to inhabit, the more we naturally are inspired to take care of the great Mother Earth that sustains us. And the more we take care of our earth around us, the more it takes care of us too. And we do that through simple practices such as eating local, wild, and fresh food, very similar to the wild animals. So we have a cafe that educates people and serves people these locally grown foods, and we harvest the wild plants, especially the wild weeds, which are usually very much in abundance and easy to identify, and serve them in a way that is really vital, where there's a lot of life force in the food. And so that inspires health for our bodies and then inspires good action for care of the earth.
And you activate that connection when you go outside.
Yes, I do, very much. And part of how I do that is by really seeing everything alive and communicating back. So when I go out into the woods to harvest the wild greens for lunch, there's a deep listening and a deep communication that's happening that is very filling, very inspiring, and it fills me with a lot of life force, and I have a lot of gratitude for whatever it is that I'm harvesting.
All right. And so when you go outside, do you connect with source?
I do. And a lot of it is through something that I learned, honestly, through a thistle plant that I call the thistle breath.
Right.
But it also feels universal and very ancient. But it's simply receiving energy from the earth simultaneously as receiving energy from the sky in these opposing spirals that fills up my center, and I get filled with this life force energy, and then as I exhale, I give it all away back to the sky, back to the earth, in an expression of gratitude. And so these simple practices fill me and connect me to the earth below my feet, as well as all this incredible celestial energy above my head, and bring me into the present moment. So that's one simple way that I immediately connect to Source.
So you're experiencing and celebrating with understanding the relationship between your life force and Source.
Yes. I think it's pretty powerful to realize that the energy that we have access to live our life doesn't just come from food. I think food is a fantastic form of it, but the energy that we really have access to comes from so many sources. And it's really good to open up to all the different kinds of nourishment that is out there. And connection to Source is the number one. You know, when our own vessel is open to receive, we are like an antenna and in a channel, and we get to direct that source energy in creative ways in our life.
And some water is especially vital to you.
Yes. Water, you know, I had been eating wild foods so much of my life growing up, but I've always had always been told, oh, don't drink the water because it's dangerous. You can get Giardia. So, you know, for many years I didn't drink it. But then at some point, it just really clicked to my own intuition that, hey, I don't want to be afraid of the wild water. So I started a journey for myself of sipping high-altitude creeks that were very aerated, and I felt really safe about their source. And I just started getting to know the wild water in small amounts. And then over time, I grew to realize that my body had adapted to be able to handle wild water. And that's now my main source of water, where I go to our local creek, and that's my drinking water. And I find that it could be from a spring, or it could be from, you know, these different sources. But when we get water right from the bubbling earth, there's a lot of life force in that water. And if we think of, you know, our bodies are filled with, you know, 75%+ of water, we want that water to be really vital.
And your going outdoors endows you with a choice. You know a way of being in this world which helps you keep your balance amidst the societal frequencies of cars and roads and cell phones and a pandemic. You're actively making choices about the way you want to live.
That's right. Yeah, and I think it's, you know, we are what we eat. I mean, there's one quote, you know, that we can say, we've heard that before. And so when we go out outside and ingest some wild food, and it could be a dandelion or pine needles or whatever you identify and can connect with, and you put that into your mouth and start chewing, there's an immediate relationship where that plant starts to become you, and it even can change the way you think. And so when we're bringing in these wild, resilient plants into our bodies, it starts awakening our own resiliency. How do we survive in this time of change, in this 21st century where, you know, things are moving so rapidly? Can we be resilient and still thrive? And these wild plants are just brilliant at doing that. And so they become our allies, and they become our teachers from within when we ingest them. So that's one way.
And so one of the ways you celebrate the connection between personal health and wildlands is to sing.
I do. That's right. When I go to the woods to reconnect and take my walkabout and eat the wild foods, it's true that singing is one of the most natural, you know, there's no one around except the trees, and so I get to just sing my heart out. And the songs are prayers, and they're mantras, and they're meditations, and I get inspired to create songs on my walkabout.
And over the years, I've observed when you're outside, you're quite often singing in gratitude.
Yes.
Are you in a continuous state of gratitude?
You know, I have to say that after the river trip that you and I just did last week or 2 weeks ago, and you shared that story about, I mean, I'm going to sum it up, but what is the meaning of life? and you said, thank you. That really struck such a chord, of course. And honestly, it has been an absolute daily practice, and it is a daily practice. And I still do have to practice it. You know, there's times when my mind can go to a worry or a fear, but as soon as I recognize it, I can bring it back to the gratitude of the present moment, and it changes everything.
Wow, wonderful. So,
yeah.
So times are not always easy, and a major uninvited change arrived at Turtle Lake this year. And as a result, you're shifting to dryland farming. Do I have that correct?
Yes. My personal well on the farm is gotten very stressed from the drought. And so I've just decided to not use it for a while so that it can recharge. So we have composting toilets on the farm, so that's great. We don't have to flush. And I'm actually going and collecting all the rainwater to water the houseplants and going to Junction Creek to, you know, for my personal water needs. And so for the farm this year, we're doing dry land farming. That's right.
Well, with the options available to you, how did you decide on dry land farming?
Well, I've got to go visit the Second Mesa and the Hopi Land in Arizona, and I was very inspired by being given a tour of their blue corn farm. And so I knew it existed, and I haven't practiced it myself, but I feel very inspired to learn about it and practice it this year and learn more.
So this is a learning year.
This is a learning year.
Well, there certainly are old stories of major droughts in the Four Corners area, which date far back before Europeans came and started drilling water wells.
Mm-hmm.
And so unless you're blessed with an abundance of rain or snow this spring, and your well really comes on strong again, you're going to be farming with sky water this year.
That's right, sky water and soil water.
Right. And throughout all of this, you're still singing to the water.
Yes, and yesterday, I had this wonderful opportunity. A group of high school students came to the farm, and we planted some Hopi corn, and we did a dryland farming technique of using a planting stick and dropping the stick down into the soil as far as we could go, sometimes as 20 inches, and dropping our corn seeds there and then filling it up. And there's just enough moisture in the soil right now that can hold that seed and help it germinate. And then these seeds can send their roots down to wherever the water table is and push their way right up to the surface and still grow beautiful corn.
Wow. Will that be something to keep getting reports on?
And the special part about it is that it was so sweet. You directed me to an interview that you did of a story of a man who went to the Hopi tribe, you know, to their farmland, and met a farmer wherein all the other crops had died from the drought. And he wondered, why did this one corn still stay alive? And when he asked about it, they said, oh, he's the one who still sings to his corn seeds. And, you know, and why do you sing to your corn seeds? If you want to give encouragement to the youth, to the young shoots that are starting up, even to make it through the hard times. And the songs are so important for that inspiration. So with the students yesterday, we all sang the thank you water song to the corn seeds as we planted them.
Oh, that's just beautiful. Well, yes, that was in 2009 with John Kimmy, and he talked about the importance of singing for the traditional Hopi way of cultivating corn.
Mm. It's so beautiful. And
so
the students really got it. I could feel how there was a depth of almost generational. There was something that really spoke in the process. So it felt very real.
So you sense something shifted in them when they begin to do that?
I really did.
Oh,
I
wow.
Really did.
That's
and,
beautiful.
And, you know, we commented on how the people that lived on the Turtle Valley land you know, there were basket weavers, the Anasazi basket weavers, that lived here between 800 and 2,000 years ago, and they were growing corn in this valley. And so here we are, the current humans that are inhabiting this place, and to pull in, you know, the gratitude from our past ancestral humans and the wisdom that they had and the corn seeds that they had, and asking all of it to help us today.
This is KDNK, and you're listening to a conversation about source water with Katrina Blair from Durango. So, unintended consequences and a well in your case that is not what it used to be, and more people building homes and drilling wells in your watershed, and the county issuing permits means you and many of us in Colorado are now or may in the future outrun the local carrying capacity of our local irrigation water.
That's right.
Does this reality change your relationship with source?
Well, I look at it as a blessing. And again, it calls me to come to gratitude. And the gratitude is that we often don't change our habits unless we have to, even though we know, oh, it would be so good if I did this. But until we have to, sometimes we don't. And so having my water run out forced me to start dry land farming, and it's forced me to be absolutely so conservative about any water that I use. I use it three times. You know, I'll end up, however I need to use my water, I'll always catch all of it and then go water the houseplants or do something else with it, because I realize it's not, I can't take it for granted. So there is this next level of sacredness in my habits now of acknowledging how precious the water is. So I would just say it amplifies my connection to source.
Would you sing for us the song of gratitude you sang to the river here in Carbondale years ago?
Yeah, that's the song we sang when we planted the corn yesterday.
Oh, well, how appropriate.
And it goes, thank you, water. I love you, water. I'm so grateful for you, water. Thank you, water. I love you, water. I'm so grateful for you, water. You are the rain falling down. You are the river flowing over ground. You are the ocean, the sweet, big body water mama of ocean. May you be wild, may you be free. Oh, you are one with me.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I remember years ago when you sang that song at dawn, you walked barefoot out into the river and then knelt down and scooped up a handful of water and tasted the river as you completed the song.
Yes.
I'm sad to tell you that I no longer believe the rivers of drinkable water quality, and you might not want to put it in your mouth today.
Oh, no, I'm so sorry to hear that. I find myself where almost wherever I am wanting to just introduce myself and introduce the water to myself, and so I often take little sips. And you know, knowing that information, it might prevent me from filling up my whole water bottle there, but I still might take a little sip just to honor it and acknowledge, hello, who are you today? And I mean, I do try to be mindful to avoid drinking too much from creeks below mining projects and certainly major civilization toxicities. But I often, you know, do still take a tiny hello sip just for the acknowledgement.
Well, as you know, I filmed what you did, and now I seriously question whether I should cut out those frames of you drinking the river water, but I'm interested, how do you feel about that?
I feel it's very important to keep it in because it gives hope, even though there may be some toxic, you know, something going on the water source into that creek now. It gives that inspiration of action of, hey, we want our waters clean. And so to see somebody drink it makes you feel we want that. And if we didn't see that at all, we might just keep accepting that it's okay to keep polluting our water. And it's we actually have to stand up and take action. Because unfortunately, if we don't, sometimes things just don't go the way we really want them to, need them to.
Well, I'm so grateful that you've made that point to me, because my initial reason for wanting to share that video was so people could learn the song and sing with you in gratitude to the river. But truthfully, I shrank and contracted from what I'd recorded of you drinking from the river. And I thought it was my job to protect children who might be innocently influenced by what you did. But I've had time to hear you say that to me a couple of times, and I've been reflecting on your words and also who we are as a people, and I've come to agree with you. Your drinking that water a few years ago should spark a great dialogue today and serve as a reminder for us and a question for the children about whether they want drinkable, swimmable, fishable, growable water quality in the river.
That's beautiful, Will. Thank you.
Well, I know the history. I reflected on the history. I remember in June of 1969 when Cuyahoga River in Ohio, which flows into Lake Erie, caught fire when floating pieces of oil debris ignited. And the nation watched, and they were just transfixed, and they were transformed because that burning river became a focal point of remediation. And that's when the Clean Water Act was written and the Environmental Protection Agency was established. And the chemical standards of the Clean Water Act were created for fish as well as people. And the goal was drinkable, fishable, swimmable water and waterways. But Commerce was able to control its enthusiasm for this new law, and they resisted. And eventually, that Clean Water Act was gutted in favor of fracking chemicals. And I realize now people eventually forgot the water in rivers and lakes can be drinkable and swimmable.
Mm. Yes, that's a great example. It's almost the grief that we can feel that inspires the action to, hey, let's change this for future generations. Let's take the inspiring path.
Yes.
And that we're doing our best to eliminate the need to use herbicides on the land and in the waterways. And so it's our way to help protect the earth. And so that's the CD is going towards that specifically. Yes, I'm going to meet you and we're going to sing to the river. That's right.
Yes, we are. We will never forget. Source water is a living world story.
Alalaho. Absolutely so grateful that you are such a beautiful spokesperson for that living world story.
Well, and I'm grateful for your persistence in telling me not to cut those clips out of my my film of you singing.
Oh, yes. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, Katrina.
Thank you so much, Will.
This is KDNK, and you've been listening to Katrina Blair sing and speak about her relationship with water and plants. Thank you for listening.
I put one foot in front.